Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now. Deals were much slower for a period of time. And so I have my ear to the ground and I hear a lot of things from a lot of people from a lot of groups. And to be honest, I haven't seen the multiples change a dramatic amount through all of this. I still see people getting significant multiples on their EBITDA. But the whole purpose of all of this is to let you know that if you're thinking about going to an OSO or a DSO, money's starting to flood back into the markets. And I'm not going to tell you when there's a good time or when there's a bad time, but certainly more deals are starting to get done.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of your 5-Minute Friday. I'm Dr. Glenn Krieger, your host. There's been a lot of discussion recently about OSOs, you know, orthodontic support organizations. And Kyle Fagala did a great point-counterpoint on the Digital Orthodontist Live, a good friend. You should check it out. I call it the best show in orthodontics. He's amazing. But you heard a lot about it in 2023, and then it kind of died off a little bit. And I want to talk about this a little bit so you better understand it. A lot of money was pulled out of the private equity markets for an extended period of time. Interest rates were going through the ceiling. Inflation was going through the ceiling. There were very uncertain times. And it wasn't a time where people wanted to invest a huge amount of money. Now, remember, private equity is nothing more than money being invested. That's it, right? If you have access to be able to invest in private equity, if you have it personally, then you're in the minority. Most people don't have access to private equity investments. They have private equity through some of the lending arms or the investment arms they have. You might have money, say, at, I'm just making up a name, Edward Jones, right? And they may have some funds that invest through private equity. But for most of you and most of us, investing through private equity, number one, the limits are pretty high, the minimal limits. Many will require $250,000 or $500,000 alone just to get in. I know of one fund. I've talked about it a great deal, the Thurston Fund. Their fund one did, I think, a 3.3x in about a little over three years. Their second fund is on pace to do the same. And the third fund is just open now, but you need $500,000 to get in. Anybody wants to talk about it, I can make an introduction for you. But again, private equity is just that, just private equity. Now, the amount of money that's out there to be invested is staggering. Like if you take the Texas Retired Teachers Group, I don't know what the exact name of it is. I think their annual numbers, their report showed that they currently have to invest is $187 billion with a B dollars. That's right, $187 billion to be invested just by that one group alone. Unless I read their report completely wrong, that's just one group. Imagine how many more are around the country. There is an almost unlimited amount of money that needs to be invested. But when interest rates are going up, when inflation is out of control, when nobody really knows what's going to happen, a lot of people don't want to invest their money, particularly retirement money, particularly pension money. So a lot of money was sitting on the sidelines and not a lot of deals were getting done. That changed a few months ago and money started pouring back in. Now, granted, interest rates are still high. Well, what role does that play? The role it plays is that I want you to think about OSOs, DSOs, and the like you. If you have the ability to buy something significant, like a home, you're probably not going to come out of pocket most people aren't going to come out of pocket to buy a home. They're going to go to a bank, they're going to get a mortgage, and they're going to try to get the best deal. Maybe they've got a relationship with a banker or a bank, and so they can get a better deal that way. But they're going to do their best to get a good deal. Now, buying a home, let's say $1 million home, when interest rates are at 2%, 2.5%, that gives you one kind of monthly payment. But when interest rates are at 6, 7, 8%, 9%, that's a different kind of monthly payment. And for most private equity companies, they're buying things that they want to buy, whether it's a practice, a company, they're taking something to the market. They're going to do it with money that they're borrowing, typically. And that applies to OSOs and DSOs as well. So if they've got to go borrow money, how much money do you think they want to borrow when things are at 6.5%, 7%, 8%? What happens to their profitability when they have loans that are at 7% versus 2.5%? The extra payments could be $100,000, $1 million, $10 million more per year. So deals were much slower for a period of time. But I'll tell you this, I'm still privy to a lot of deals. Why? Because I have a lot of people reach out to me and say, Glenn, I know you know a little bit about private equity. I know you're not a financial advisor, but here's what I'm hearing. What do you think? And so I have my ear to the ground and I hear a lot of things from a lot of people, from a lot of groups. And to be honest, I haven't seen the multiples change a dramatic amount through all of this. I still see people getting significant multiples on their EBITDA. And I'm not going to get into EBITDA. We've talked about that at length. But the whole purpose of all of this is to let you know that if you're thinking about going to an OSO or a DSO, money's starting to flood back into the markets. And I'm not going to tell you when there's a good time or when there's a bad time, but certainly more deals are starting to get done. And there's a lot of ways you should evaluate the company you're going to go with. Reach out to me, DM me if you have a question. You can always text me. I'll give you my cell. It's 469-610-9920. Text me if you ever want to chat. I'm always happy to share what I've learned. I spent about 6 months doing a very deep dive before I joined Smile Doctors with my partner. We looked at a number of groups. There's good ones out there. There are places that one group may not even be functioning, so you can't even go to that group. But reach out to me and we can talk a little bit. I can explain it. But my point in all of this is OSOs are not a Ponzi scheme, right? People will tell you, oh, they're a Ponzi scheme. And for those of you unfamiliar, Ponzi scheme is when, you know, Bernie Madoff, what he did, where you take money from some people to continue paying off other people. The first people in make money. The last ones in lose their shirt. OSOs and DSOs are not like that unless they're being run poorly. Now, the way an OSO becomes profitable and makes money is in two places. Number one, if the OSO, or let's call it an OSO, is worth $100 million, the way they're going to grow is by acquiring more practices and incorporating that. So if you acquire $10 million worth of practices, you went from $100 to $110 million of worth. But what if you acquired nobody, but instead became far more profitable by creating great marketing schemes for your entire network? So you came up with ways to market better for everybody. So you grew yourself organically from $100 to $110 million. Let's just say you were able to market really well for all of your practices and you got 10% growth. That's $110 million over $100. And let's just say you had economies of scale. Because you have so many practices, you get better deals on products, on aligners, on lab work. So before, your $100 million, maybe you had 60% average overhead. Now, you've got 50% average overhead. So you've gone from $60 million of overhead to $50 million of overhead, and you made $10 million without growing at all. Add to that some great marketing. Now you're cooking. Add one more aspect, which is acquiring practices. Now you're putting gas on the fire, and things are getting really good. And that's how OSOs and DSOs grow. And so right now, I'm not going to say good or bad time. I'm just going to say, if you're thinking about going to market in the next 12 to 24 months, definitely reach out to me and we can chat. I can tell you what I've learned along the way. And again, anybody who speaks to me knows that while I'm part of Smile Doctors, there are many states where Smile Doctors doesn't operate. If I can help you in any way, I certainly will. And I don't steer people just to Smile Doctors. You may not be a good fit for the company. And so hit me up on DM, reach out to me on my cell. I'm always here to help you any way I can. But don't buy into the concept of Ponzi schemes for OSOs. Why? because they just don't grow by acquisition, and that you have to keep acquiring, keep acquiring, keep acquiring, keep acquiring. If you can acquire but have better management, and you can become more profitable and grow the practices under management, you don't have to continuously be acquiring and acquiring and acquiring. I mean, you should. A good private equity-backed OSO should be acquiring, because people should be wanting to join it and they should be in good company. But you also have to market effectively. You also have to do proper overhead control. And so the concept of a Ponzi scheme and that the first in are the only ones who make money is kind of silly. You have to look at the financials of the company. You've got to understand what their long-term plan is. You have to look at the leadership and management team. And once you've done that, you'll get a pretty good idea if you're joining a good company or a fly-by-night, because there's many out there and the road is littered with them that started off with an idea, but really were never really thought through very well, and people lost their shirts. So just know, I'm here to help. Reach out to me. I won't steer you in any one direction. I'll let you make your own decisions, but make informed decisions, okay? Have a wonderful day. Speak to you soon.